This is a chapel service for November 17th, 1961. Dr. Duncan is bringing our message.
Let us pray. We bless thee, O God, who hast kept us in life, shielded us, led us, and fed us, borne with our sins, healed our diseases, and shown us thy goodness in the land of the living. We praise thee that thou callest into thy fellowship not the self-righteous, nor those wise and prudent in their own conceits, but rather the brokenhearted, the ruined, and undone, for such were we. And we bless thee for thine amazing love in giving us of the Holy Spirit, by whose gracious influence our evil is changed to good and our enmity to love and peace. O Lord, the Alpha and Omega, who knowest the end from the beginning, for as much as we know not what a day may bring forth, show us each day what thou wouldest have us do, and give us daily strength to do it. And let us never, through pride or indolence, decline the humblest or hardest task appointed for us, nor ever, for fear or favor of men, turn aside from it. Let us never sell our soul for gain, but grant us patiently to endure the testing of our faith, that not in fear, but in hope, we may await thy coming. Grant to us, we beseech thee, the loving, forgiving, and merciful spirit of that Galilean who taught us together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The seven spiritual works of mercy, according to the medieval scholastics, were to teach the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to console the sad, to reprove the sinner, to forgive the offender, to bear with the oppressive and troublesome, and to pray for all. I am persuaded that the most difficult of these to do is to forgive. To forgive the offender, the one who has hurt me. For of all of these, forgiveness requires a change within myself. I may console or counsel or reprove or teach without anything particularly happening within the innermost being of myself. But something has to happen to me if I truly forgive. Perhaps that is why we say so little about this virtue. In our vocabulary in this modern age, there are repeated many times words like teach, counsel, console, reprove, bear with, pray for. And while it is common to hear someone say over some triviality, "Oh, forgive me," and to have someone reply, "Of course," we really do not say much about the practice of forgiveness. I must honestly say that though I have heard it referred to in some ministers commenting upon the Lord's Prayer or some other aspect of Christian life, I cannot distinctly recall but one occasion when I have heard an entire sermon preached on the subject of the virtue of forgiveness on the part of a Christian toward his brother. And perhaps the reason I remember that one and not some others that I may have heard is because when I returned home from hearing that sermon that night, a couple of hours later, there was a person who had wronged me sitting penitently on my doorsteps waiting to ask my forgiveness. He had been there those 2 hours. And I must admit that there my heart and my life were sorely tried. At any rate, it seems to me that such a topic, which looms so large in Scripture, which is so vital to Christian living, and which is so greatly in need of practice, needs more discussion and thought than we usually give to it. Now, of course, we say a great deal about how God has graciously forgiven us. But my point is, how graciously do we practice the art of forgiving when we have been the object of wrong? The New Testament words for are those words in the New Testament which we translate forgive and forgiveness. I'm told were never used in these senses in classical Greek. The word forgiveness establishes itself in the New Testament. Indeed, a completely new emphasis is laid upon the importance of forgiving there. And the word forgiveness then was really created by the New Testament writers. So, as in the case of the word agape, we have a new word for a new virtue. So that under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the word came gradually into existence, for, as another has said, until the light of the cross had penetrated the minds of men, they did not really understand what forgiveness means. Of course, it is sometimes said that Christians are not called upon to forgive unless those who are being forgiven have repented, because forgiveness cannot take place unless and until the offender repents. And certainly in the strict sense, this is true. But we must not forget that there is a Christian virtue of forgivingness. And that is the virtue of possessing always the spirit which is willing to forgive. Forgivingness, the willingness to forgive, helps bring about the change of mind in the other, which we speak of as repentance, and so makes forgiveness possible. This indeed was one of the supreme characteristics of our Lord. It was the forgivingness of God which makes our forgiveness possible. Many years ago, Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick told of an incident which transpired during the serious and very ugly atrocities against the Armenians in the early part of this century. In the course of these atrocities, a young woman and her brother were pursued down the street by a Turkish soldier, were finally cornered in an angle of a wall, and the brother was slain before his sister's eyes. But she managed to escape, dodging down an alley, leaping a wall, getting away. She was a nurse, and later she was forced by the Turkish authorities to work in their military hospital. There was brought into the ward in which she was serving one day that very same Turkish soldier who had slain her brother. He was very ill, and any slight inattention would have certainly ensured his death. And later on, when the young woman was safe in America, she confessed the bitter struggle that took place in her mind. The old Adam cried out, "Vengeance." And the new Christ called love, forgiveness. And equally to the man's good and to her own, the better side of her conquered, and she nursed him as carefully as any other patient in the war. The recognition had been mutual, and one day, unable to restrain his curiosity more, the young Turk asked his nurse why she had not let him die. And when she replied, "I am a follower of him who said, love your enemies and do them good," he fell silent for a long time. And then at last he spoke, simply saying, "I never knew that there was such a religion. If it is your religion, then tell me more about it, for I want it." One is haunted by the idea that if on any large scale Christians should exhibit such forgiveness and love, there would be stirred up in the heart of this very bitter and vindictive world in which we live the wistful response of the Turk. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, give to us, we ask, thy love which makes us willing to forgive. For we pray in Jesus' name.